Okay, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us with our worship time. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness, Lord. And I can't help but think about the survey that Sean's doing, Lord. And I just am so glad, Lord, that you've showed us that your Bible is the only answer to salvation is in your Word. It's not outside of your Word. It's all in your Word. And your Bible is good for teaching, rebuking, for everything that we need, Lord, that has to do with salvation is in your Word. And I'm glad that we know that. And Lord, we know that it's because of your mercy we believe that, Lord. If we are left to ourselves, we believe all kinds of crazy stuff that's out there like other people do. So we are grateful for you giving us your Spirit and letting us believe the truth. I pray now, Lord, that because we know the truth and we know you, that we are glad that we know you. And we can sing these songs and be glad and be happy and that we know you, Lord, and that it might be pleasing in your ears. So help us with this worship time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in this first song here in the top paragraph, it says, "Oh, what a wonderful day. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He, Jesus, met the need of my heart. Shadows of spelling with joy I'm telling. He made all the darkness depart." So the part about where he met the need of my heart. So I was thinking about that, and it's different for everybody. When you get saved, he meets the need of your heart individually for you. And sometimes it's not what you think, right? But there's a point where the light comes on and you get the gospel. You understand the gospel, the light comes on, right? And I was thinking about my personal experience when I got saved. What the Lord needed to do to me was give me a big slap across the face. Pow! I needed to hear this. This is what the Lord used to turn the light on for me. "I don't have to love you. I can hate you if I want. All your sins and all your ways make me sick. I should hate you and throw you into hell. I don't have to love you. I don't have to love anybody." See, that's what the Bible basically says. That. And that's what I needed, a big slap across the face, right? Because, see, if I didn't hear it like that, I wouldn't have repented and believed. I would have just kept on my own path and headed straight to hell. Because you know what? Before that, you know what all I ever heard was this: Jesus loves you. And you know what that did for me? Made me real comfortable in my sin. Well, Jesus loves me, so I'm good. I can just live how I want. See, I need to hear, no, God should hate you, not Jesus loves you. See, that's what I needed. He met the need of my heart, right? See, now, it sounds kind of harsh, right? I should hate you, I shouldn't love you. But really, you know, Jesus, sometimes it might seem like he's abrasive. Remember when he told the Pharisees, "You're a brood of vipers," right? He's talking to these church guys. But that's what they needed to hear. So sometimes when the Lord seems abrasive or uncompassionate, it's not that at all. What he's doing is he's just meeting the need of your heart, because probably he's either trying to correct you or he's drawing you to salvation. Jesus is the most compassionate person that ever walked on the face of the earth. And he just wants, all he does when he's being harsh, maybe, or when it sounds like he's being harsh or uncompassionate, he's really just trying to make the darkness depart, like the song says. I think all humans are like this a little bit. We all have this a little. That we look at what we don't have instead of looking at what we do have. Right? We're always looking for more. We're never content, completely content with what we have. We're always looking for something else, whatever that is. And it made me remember a time when I was a kid. My sister may remember this. My mom and dad, they didn't have a lot of money, but they took us to the circus. Now, that's a big deal, right? Back at McNichols Arena, if you guys even remember that, that's how long ago it was. But we went to the circus. All right, I know. Yeah, tell them, Phil. So we go to the circus, right? Now, we're at the circus. You know, it's a big deal. And we're watching it, and then all of a sudden, and I'm probably like in fourth grade, maybe third grade, I don't remember. But all of a sudden, then the vendors start walking up and down the aisles. Cotton candy? Or they got the little toys, right, that they're trying to sell, those spinny things or whatever. Well, now I'm like, oh, hey, Dad, can I have cotton candy? Oh, hey, can I have one of those toys? And I kept asking for everything else. Now I'm not even paying attention to the circus. I'm at the circus, and now I'm done with that. Now I want something else. And I just remember my dad going, like, well, you shut up and quit asking for stuff. Like, he was kind of frustrated and disappointed. Like, I brought you to the circus, and now you just want the cotton candy, right? That's kind of how we are, naturally, I think. And I think we're like that with the Lord a little bit. Now, we tend to forget what He has done. See, in the song here it says, for He has done great things. Sometimes I think we tend to forget what He has done. Look, the Lord has done the biggest and most important thing He could ever do, and that is save people from judgment. Save them from the wrath of God, right? And sometimes I think, like, I shouldn't ask for anything else. He gave me salvation, I shouldn't ask for nothing else. But Jesus isn't like that. He tells us to ask Him for things, right? As long as they're according to His will, right? But He can't just ask for whatever we want. It has to line up with His Bible. So let's not be like me at the circus, because I was just complaining and not happy with what I had. I wanted more, right? See, Christians should be the happiest people on earth, knowing what the Lord has done, right? We should be the happiest people. So let's always remember that and then bless Him for what He has done. Bless His holy name for saving us from the judgment. Okay, I like to find stuff. If I'm walking along and I find a dollar, I like that. Like, it's free. It's not a dollar, right? Free. And I learned from a young age from my dad to be a dumpster diver. I cannot walk by a dumpster and not go, I can't do it. My dad used to work for the city of Denver, and they'd send a camera down the sewer lines in the alleys. And so when the camera's going down, there's a lot of downtime where you just got to wait for the camera to take the pictures and do whatever. So they'd be looking in the dumpsters or in the alley. Now all the people's trash out there, especially on trash day, it was a big day. And my dad would come home with some cool stuff, bicycles, lawnmowers, all kinds of stuff, right? So I learned that, like, to look into dumpsters, and I love it, and I do it still to this day. But I love free stuff. I mean, it's free. You find it, right? I love it, you know? One time I found 20 bucks at the gas station, and that was great. One time, we were staying with her, Jovita's brother for a few months, well, because her house wasn't ready, and he lived in a condo complex, so they got the dumpsters out there. And I'm taking the trash out, and I walk out, and what do I see? 4 big trash bags full of clothes, folded up nice and neat in the trash bags. And I was like, whoa! So I'm hauling these things back in there. I'm like, honey, look what I found. Look at all these clothes. And I'm putting shirts on. Man, this is my size. And I'm loving it, right? She's like, I ain't wearing that stuff. It was in the trash, right? But I love it. I love finding stuff. I love it. It's free, right? And then one day, I found Jesus. The priceless treasure. The most valuable thing in the world, right? So when I was looking at this song, I thought, but you know what? The Bible teaches that we really don't find Him. He finds us. Here's a verse. Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2 says, this is God talking, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here I am, here I am. All day long I've held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in the ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. See, we don't look for Jesus. We're not trying to find Him. He finds us. See, we're so selfish. Before we're saved, we're spiritually dead and selfish. All we do is look for pleasure in this life. We don't need Jesus, right? We don't see the value in Him. We don't look at Him as a priceless treasure. So what does He do? He throws Himself in front of us. Where we either got to run into Him or we trip over Him, right? He puts Himself in front of us and it looks like we find Him. He lets us think we found Him when really He came after us. See, the things we find in this earth, or on earth here, the pleasures that we find here, all they do is lead us to hell. But when Jesus throws Himself in front of us and lets us find Him, He leads us to eternal life.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord, I'm just grateful, Lord, that you let us find you. Lord, we know that we're born sinners and all we do is just seek our own pleasures in this life and seek what we want to do. But you're such a good God that you will throw yourself in front of us so that we will find you. And I'm grateful that you do that, Lord. If you hadn't done that, I would just be right where I was, living my life, doing what I want, thinking I'm okay. So I'm grateful, Lord, that you let us find you. You are a good God, and I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray now, Lord, that you would be with Dorian and use him as your mouthpiece, Lord, to let us hear what we need to know. Lord, we're here because you want us here. We're here because we need to be taught. We need to be encouraged. We need to be fed. So I pray, Lord, that you would do those things and bless our time here for the rest of the time. In Jesus' name, amen.